I'm so excited to have our next guest on. I've been looking forward to this interview for several days, Alex. Our next guest is Dr. Alexander Lloyd, and I was actually introduced to him by a mutual friend, someone we both know and love, and she told me, check out his work because it's really, really powerful. And so I did. I bought the book, The Healing Code. I'd like to show it, but I buy my books on Kindle now, so it's on my Kindle. I don't have anything to hold up. But I devoured that book and absolutely loved it and began using the Healing Code process. And I've done so many things over the past 30 years. I know lots of different methodologies. This was really unique. And I love the explanations that all of you are going to be able to hear from Dr. Alex as we get going just a minute about the impact of stress on the immune system, you know, why we get sick, memories and the impact they have on us, old memories that consciously we may have even forgotten, but they're still sometimes dragging us down a little bit. The Healing Code works with really not eliminating, because you can maybe still remember them, but the impact they have can go away. And you've got the power to heal yourself by using these healing codes. So I am just so thrilled. Dr. Alex is a luminary in the energy healing world. He's been on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, PBS. I don't know if there's any other networks out there, but if there are, you'll probably be on them at some time. Oprah.com, USA Today, Time, People Magazine. So many people have used the healing codes to heal themselves, not to have to go to somebody else, but to heal themselves. And so I am just so happy and fortunate that we got Dr. Alexander Lloyd to be on our Global Energy Healing Summit. Dr. Alex, thank you so much for being with us today.
Tom, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. And the best part was meeting you and us becoming friends. So that was way good for me. And I've been excited about sharing with you today. So thank you for having me.
You bet. And when our first meeting, which was on Zoom because we can't travel, but one of the things that stood out, and you just even saw it in the way that he honored me with what you just said, is this is a guy filled with a tremendous amount of love. And so that's one of the reasons I know why you do this work. Tell us how you got started or how you discovered, because you're a psychologist, you're in practice, you're also a naturopath doctor. So you've got a two doctor degrees. But how did you come up with the healing codes? How did that even happen? How did you discover those?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Tom. I'm not sure. Yeah, I've done quite a few interviews, and I'm not sure if any other interviewer has ever really asked me that. But I believe that discovering what true love really is what I needed the most in my life and didn't know it. And then an event happened that I thought at the time, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. My life as I know it is over. And I'll never recover, okay? But it was that event that took me to the place that I so desperately needed, and I didn't even know it. And excuse me, let me get a drink. And it was about my wife. You know, like most people, we met, fell in love. I thought, man, I've got to get her to say I do as fast as possible, because she'll change her mind, because she was way, way out of my league then and now. But we got married thinking, you know, we'll have a house, three kids, a golden retriever, a picket fence, you know, all that stuff. And we also, Tom, thought that we were more prepared for marriage than anybody we knew. We did marriage counseling voluntarily that we had to pay for. Yeah. On our dates, we would each read the same book. not on our date, but while we were away from each other, we would underline things and mark things. And then our date, we would talk about the things from the book that impacted us and how. So anyway, by the time we got married, we thought, we have done this better than anyone's ever done it. And we're going to be so happy. And less than a year and a half, we were both absolutely miserable. Huh. And the precipitating event finally was on a Sunday night. We'd been married about a year and a half. My wife, Hope, said, "Alex, I need to talk to you." And now she had said that 1,000 times, but I immediately knew that something's different. I said, "Okay, sure." And she couldn't look me in the eye. She was all fidgety. She couldn't stand still. And then her chin started quivering. You know, when you're fighting tears.
Yeah.
And when her chin started quivering, that was like, okay, what is happening here? And she said, "Alex, this is a direct quote. I cannot stand to live with you another day. Whoa. I need you to leave the house now."
Wow.
And I mean, Tom, I grew up in a family. We weren't Italian, but we you would have thought we were Italian. The way we argued and yelled and then hugged each other after it was over and all that sort of thing. And I couldn't think of anything to say except, okay. And so I packed my bag and left.
But you must have been heartbroken.
Oh, that I stayed up all night long in my parents' backyard, cursing, crying, everything in between. And I was hoping, you know, some lightning bolt would happen, you know, some miracle, some, you know, and it really didn't. But what did happen right at the end of that evening, after Hope kicked me out and I was outside in my parents' backyard all night, is I heard a voice in my head, and I knew it was in my head, Tom. I'm not talking, you know, some mystical voice that, you know, you could have heard or other people could have heard. I knew it was in my head. And the voice said, "Alex, not only do you not love Hope, you don't even know what love is."
Wow.
And Tom, I've got to be honest, man, it pissed me off. I mean, at that time, I was employed working with teenagers and their families to keep them, you know, together and the teenagers on the right track, away from drugs and all that kind of stuff, and the parents and kids getting closer. And I mean, I was the love guy.
Yeah, you knew love.
I was the love guy. And now some voice is saying, "I don't even know what love is." I mean, it really, and the first thing I thought was, I have told her every day I love her.
Right.
I mean,
that's enough.
I mean, sometimes 5 times a day or 6. Yeah. I mean, how can it be? But as the days and weeks went on, I could not get that voice out of my head. I couldn't forget it. And so really, just to sort of see if it would make it go away, I started researching love and talking to people much older and wiser than me, reading ancient manuscripts, reading the latest science and research and all that sort of thing. And to make a long story short, about 6 weeks after Hope kicked me out of the house, I came to believe that voice had been right. And maybe this was the reason for all of this. Because now what I believe is that love, real love, is all in, nothing held back, no plan B, no safety net, forever, no matter what.
Wow.
And that is not that had not at all been my view of love. My view of love is that Hope and I loved each other, and so we're getting married, and there's certain things that she's expected to do and to not do. There's certain things I'm expected to do and to not do. And so as long as we both do what we're supposed to do, then yeah, everything will be great. And we'll have the three kids and the gold retriever and all that. But if you've been married, if you're watching this and you've been married, you know, it usually doesn't happen that way. Okay. And somebody at some point does something that the other one says, that's not on my list. And that's not okay. I studied under a world-renowned psychologist, and he would put it this way. He would say, when two people get married or commit their life to each other as a significant other or whatever, they each push an invisible grocery cart down the aisle, but nobody can see it. It's invisible. But yeah. And both of them push that down. And in about six months after getting married or making a commitment, it starts to become visible and it starts leaking out and it starts stinking. And that's when most people say, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
And they either divorce, that's 50%, or 40% more decide we're going to stay together even though we're not happy, and less than 10% actually end up happy long term. So anyway, Hope and I had a recommitment ceremony for our marriage. Well, let me back up just a second.
Yeah.
So the time came, you know, the voice said, you don't know what love is. Finally, right. After 6 weeks, I agreed. And so at the end of that, I got down on my knees. I made it as much as I could, like a little ceremony or something.
Yeah.
And I talked to God, mm-hmm. or talked to love, or talked yeah. And I said, okay, I will never be able to do it right, but as best as I can, I will really love Hope for the rest of my life, no matter what.
Wow.
And, powerful. And Tom, when I did that, I felt a heaviness leave me.
Yes.
And you got to remember, I was committing to do that at a time when Hope wanted to divorce me. In fact, we were separated, and Hope was telling her friends, I'm happier than I've ever been in my life because I'm away from him. So anyway,
this is really powerful though, because you, I've heard you talk about unconditional love so many times. Like what you just said is so powerful. She's going, you know, telling people I'm happier than I've ever been, and you're committing to her to love her, not all conditions that she, I'll love her if she does this. I'll love her if she lets me back in the house at 4 p.m. today. You just said, I'm just going to love her no matter what. That is so rare, I think, on this planet, Alex, what you're talking about.
Well, I'd never done it before, except for maybe my mom and dad, you know, like that. But anyway, so she wants to divorce me, and I'll make this quick. Finally, she agrees to go on a date with me with lots of conditions. You do not come in the house. You don't touch me. It's in public. 1 hour only. You don't ask to meet again. And she told me later, the only reason she had that meeting was for closure. Mm. Okay. So she could tell her friends, okay, I gave him one last chance. Now I'm out of here and whatever. So I knocked on the door. And this is after this transformation in me to real love. So I knock on the door. She opens the door, and Tom, she did a double take. She opened the door, looked at me, looked away, and then looked back in my eyes. I mean, yeah. it was weird. I mean, if somebody had been watching it, they would have thought, that was kind of weird. What was she doing?
Yeah.
She would tell me later that the first time she looked in my eyes, she knew that I was not the same man, even though she wouldn't tell me then because she was afraid it wasn't real.
Yeah.
So anyway, at that point, once she saw that, she literally could not resist me. And everyone can see it's not because of my great looks. Okay. and we had a recommitment ceremony. We've been married 35 years in like a week ago. But the point was, real love is so rare and it is so powerful that it is almost impossible to resist. With my clients over the years, after I, you know, discovered that and some tools to, you know, heal the junk inside you and start living in real love, not what I call business deal or fake love, the same things have happened with them and their spouse or significant other wants to hate them and did hate them. But when they start living this way, they can't. It's overpowering. And then it kind of infects the other person with real love. And now you really got something going, because then it affects the children. And now you've got people all around saying, I don't know what she's got, but I need some of it. And it's not an act. It's completely real.
I love what you're saying. And what an amazing start to this interview, because love is energy. It's the most powerful energy anywhere. And you did change. You were not the same person when you showed up, whether it was her looking in your eyes or her just feeling the vibration coming off you. It was a different Alex showing up. And congratulations, 35 years of marriage.
It was, I'd been all about me until then. I was the youngest of three children, spoiled out of my mind, and I was all about me, and I was all about money. And after we got back together and recommitted and had this new view of the purpose, really the purpose of life, it changed everything. It absolutely changed everything for her and me. And we decided, hey, we don't care if we ever make a lot of money anymore. We want to help people who are hurting, period, like we were, and searched for 12 years and couldn't find anything that really helped. We want to find and help as many of those folks as we can. And so that's what we've been doing ever since.
You certainly have done that. Amazing. Best-selling books and all the different things you're doing. You've helped so many people. A tough experience back then, probably you said it was like getting, not hit by a brick on the side of the head, nothing you expected, but what came out of it was something really beautiful. So thank you so much for bringing that to fruition. And I know you see that in so many of the people that come to you, they're in a struggle. They think it's the end of the world. What I've come to find in my life and the people I work with, it usually is a gift if they use it correctly. If they can identify it as a gift, there's something in there that is going to come out of it. Most people, though, see themselves as victims, right? They've got these old memories that are running, these old patterns. Can you talk a little bit about memories and patterns, even from childhood, how so many people are still running lots of patterns that weren't even theirs in the first place? They came from their parents, and how that impacts people through most of their life. And then later on, we'll talk about how to heal some of those memories, because that's really a big part of your work.
Right. The latest studies that I've seen, and they're very recent, all in the last 5 years, some of the, a couple of the best ones were in Scientific American, which is very highly regarded journal. And what they are finding now, and very few people know this, but what they are finding now is that roughly 50% of what you think is true about your life from your memories
right
is not true.
I mean, believe that. Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's incredible. I tell people that and they don't even know how to respond. They just look at me kind of with their mouth open. Well, what does that mean? It means that the activities that you're doing every day may be based on faulty information. And if you had the truth, you would be doing something different or doing it in a different way or something like that. One of the biggest issues, let me start here. For about 100 years, Western medicine has said when it diagnoses you with an illness or disease, so picture that, Tom, you're feeling bad, you go into the hospital, they run tests. About a week later, they call you back in when the tests come back in. And the doctor, you're in the doctor's office and you're on pins and needles, man. And he looks at his shoes. Okay. First of all, when he looks at his shoes, you know it's bad news.
Right.
All right. He looks at his shoes and he says, Tom, I'm sorry to tell you, you have blank.
Yeah.
Right? Cancer, diabetes, ALS, whatever. And then when you recover from that, you're very likely to ask this question. How did I get this?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a brother. He's fine. I've got a twin. He's fine. I grew up with six other people. They ate what I ate. They had the same parents. They're all healthy as a horse. How come this is happening to me? And by far the number one answer for the last 100 years in Western medicine is three words. We don't know. So Southwestern University Medical School and Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, is doing a research study to try to find that. If somebody gets cancer, where did it come from? If somebody gets Parkinson's, how come they got it and another person didn't? Where does illness and disease come from? And after several years, they finished the study, and it's like, yes, we found it. Finally, after 100 years of Western medicine, we found it. And so Dr. Eric Nessler, who's a medical doctor from Harvard, who was head of the department at Southwestern, had an interview. Sorry about my dog. He'll be quiet in a minute. But anyway, Dr. Eric Nessler is in an interview with the Dallas Morning News talking about the results of the study. And he says for most treatments of illness and disease in Western medicine, our treatments are little more than band-aids, addressing an illness or disease's symptoms, but not its source. Yeah. And then he goes on, once we figure out how to fix what we found here, it will change healthcare everywhere, all over the world, for every person. And he says, what we found is that all illness and disease comes from a thing that we are calling cellular memories.
Okay.
Well, if you're listening to this, just delete the word cellular. It's your memories. Yeah. If you've got a memory with anger in it, if you've got a memory with low self-worth in it, if you've got a memory with Tom can do it, but I can't. If you've got a memory with people aren't going to like me when I get, you know, whatever it is, that memory, and this is a big misconception. We used to think that unless you're consciously thinking about that memory, it just sort of sits in the corner and behaves itself. Today, we know nothing could be further from the truth. Whether you're thinking about that memory or not, it is sending a fear-based signal to the hypothalamus in your brain. When that signal is received by the hypothalamus, it flips on the stress switch. And it's not flipping the stress switch based on your physical circumstances.
Right.
And it's based on your internal circumstances. And that's the misconception, Tom. The huge misconception is almost everyone who's come to us over the last 20 years. And that's clients in 50 states, 174 countries. Okay.
Yeah.
I've trained over 1,000 practitioners to work with all those people. okay? But I guarantee you 99.9% of them, when they come to us, they believe their problem is number one, pain, either physical or emotional or relational, and their current circumstances. Those two things. Well, guess what, everybody? The latest, greatest research says it's not either one of those. It's coming from a totally different place. And if you don't fix the place it's coming from, then you're just going to be symptom managing or coping the rest of your life. So to me, that is one of the huge things that has been uncovered in the last decade or so, is that what you think is true about yourself and your life very well may not be, and it's almost guaranteed your problem is not what you think it is.
Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you for sharing that with us. That is so powerful. So most people have just learned something they didn't know before. Memories, old memories are what cause most illnesses.
That's
what
right.
Causes the stress is old memories, not even ones that you're consciously aware of. That is so cool. And the beautiful thing is that's what you help people work with, is old memories, where you take the charge out of old memories. Now, as you mentioned, everybody's caught up with the above the surface symptom, you know, trying to fix the symptom. Did this work? I did this as a symptom. Did it go away? Taking these memories and working with them sometimes takes a little bit of time. What I do love about your methodology, though, is you can feel results pretty doggone quickly, which is really, really cool. So what do we do with these memories? Do we just have to erase them all? Or what's the strategy of working with memories so that we can live happier, healthier, more loving lives, Alex?
Yeah, that's a great question. And let's start here. The problem in any memory that is causing a problem is a lie or untruth.
Okay.
That's not 99%, that's 100%. The problem in any memory that's causing a problem is a lie or an untruth. Now, remember, what Southwestern found is that any illness and disease you can have is coming from a memory.
Yeah.
So take the next step. It's coming from a lie and an untruth, and it's coming from one of two places. Well, no, probably three. Number one is inherited. And we inherit memories from our ancestry. And Tom, I was teaching this 25 years ago, and my colleagues, some of them, were having a little bit of good sport with me on that, because they said, there is no evidence to back this up whatsoever, that memories, and especially trauma memories, are passed down from generation to generation. Well, then brand new research comes out, for the first time, double-blind university studies saying that it absolutely does. It's passed down in the sperm.
Yeah.
And then other universities do the same research independently, confirm it. And then just about, a year and a half ago, brand new research came out, reported at the University of Tel Aviv, where it's also passed down in the RNA to future generations. I mean, we're talking, it could be four or five generations. And the title of the article, that was so cool, because the title of the article said, you can literally send messages to future generations.
Yes. And Alex, wow. I'm going to stop you here for 1 second really quick, because listen to what he's saying, everybody. Like, part of it can be, oh yeah, I inherited this from my ancestors, which I absolutely 100% believe is true. I remember reading a book called It Didn't Start With You. Like, right. Some of the things we're acting on, we inherited. We're running our grandparents' patterns that made them sick, and now it's making us sick. But I also want everyone watching this to think about something else too, and why it's so important to listen to what Dr. Alex is saying. We've passed those same memories on, if you have children, to your children. Now, the great thing is, when we work with those memories and negate them in ourselves, a lot of times, energetically, not only do we stop it from being passed on by procreation, but just even energetically, just like when Alex changed what was inside him, his wife noticed a different version, an upgraded version, and she was healed as well as him being healed. And so we're responsible for our kids. I've got two kids that I pass memories on to. I want to, that's why your work was so cool too. It's like, not only am I healing myself, but I can heal my future generations too.
That's
so
right.
I just wanted to stop and say that really quick. So I know we're only on the first one, but so powerful.
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, what do you want for your grandkids? Do you want them to deal with your junk, or do you want them to have it to be free from it? And so that's the first one. The second one is in utero and the first 6 or 8 years of life. What we have 5 brain states: delta, theta, alpha, beta, gamma. Okay, that's it. 5 brain states. The first in utero to about 6 or 8 years of life is the only time in our entire life that we live in delta, theta brainwave state. Okay, why is that important? Because if you're in delta, theta brainwave state, you do not have the ability to logic. Mm-hmm. So if a dad in the backyard playing football with his son, who's 5 years old, and the son kicks the ball and it goes the wrong way or something, and the dad, picture this. The dad laughs, comes and picks his son up in his arms and hugs him and swings him around. Everything is positive, right?
Yeah.
But then the dad says in a joking way, son, you're never going to be a good football player kicking it like that.
Yeah.
And they both laugh. Okay. Yeah. But wait a minute. His son is 5 years old. He's in delta theta brainwave state. So what's the result of that situation? The result is now Junior has a hard drive programming truth that he is never going to be good at football.
Yeah.
Now, does that make it impossible for him to be good? No, but it just made it harder, because every time football comes up or he's out there throwing or kicking, his brain is going to pull up that memory. It's going to send a signal down his arm if he's throwing, and it's going to cause him to tighten just a little bit.
Yeah.
Enough to throw that, to mess that throw up. If he's kicking, that signal is going to go down his leg to his foot, and it's going to override his conscious intention, and he's going to kick it just a little differently than he would have before dad ever said that. And I call those popsicle memories. I had a lady in New York who had 180 IQ and kept sabotaging her career. And it was coming from a memory when she was 5 years old, when her mom gave her sister a popsicle at lunch, but wouldn't give her a popsicle. And she said, honey, your sister's already had a good lunch. When you have a good lunch, you can have a popsicle too. Well, what did the mom do wrong? Nothing. The whole deal is that she was in delta theta brainwave state. Well, that memory, in my client's own words, direct quote, and she was about 38 at this time. She said, that is the memory that ruined my life. Well, Tom, the mom didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
And I promise you this too. Any psychologist, psychiatrist, social worker, counselor, life coach who looked at that memory at age 5 would say, well, that's sure not the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was.
Yeah.
It not only was the problem, it's what ruined her life. Because in every situation, here's what got programmed in. Okay, so this will help.
Yeah.
If my mom gives my sister a popsicle but won't give me one,
yeah,
it must mean my mom loves my sister more than me. That's the big one.
Yeah.
If my mom loves my sister more than me, there must be something wrong with me. I must be defective. And the third one is something's wrong with me then when I get out here in the world, I'm going to fail because I'm defective. And if anyone ever says they love me, they'll be lying. Because if anyone ever should have loved me, it should have been mom, and she didn't.
Sure.
So that programming played over and over and over in every situation of her life for more than 30 years. We healed that memory, and in 24 hours, she was completely 180, got the huge promotion, became the mover and shaker all over the world in financial markets, et cetera. And then the third one, sorry I'm taking so long.
Well, that's okay.
Is trauma memories.
Yeah.
Your house burns down. Or, you know, but the problem with trauma memories is that if you've got a whole bunch of number one and number twos, meaning inherited memories and popsicle memories, then what happens is filtered through that. So your interpretation of what's happening right now in your life can be unbelievably skewed to the negative if it's being filtered through memories passed down that have lies and errors and negativity in them, and popsicle memories that have lies and errors and negativity in them. Then you're going to tend to make a negative interpretation of what the situation is that's happening right now in your life. So you have to fix all three of those, and talking will not fix them typically. So
the typical type of psychoanalyst and just talking about it doesn't fix it. You've got to go down into the root cause and the and what I love that you do, you go down into the energy of the memory. You work on the not you know, getting into the, you know, details of talking through how it happened, how you felt.
Right. I mean,
that is nice. But the energy of the memory is really what's causing all these symptoms in you and potentially causing even disease.
That's right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Your brain, nervous system, mind, heart, however you want to think about that, it basically says there's two things. There's two different forces, okay? Something that's love-based or something that's fear-based. Mm-hmm. When it picks up love-based, it flips the success switch in the brain and releases oxytocin, endorphins, peptides. You automatically start having positive thoughts, positive emotions, et cetera. If it picks up something fear-based, it activates fight or flight, suppresses your immune system, and here we go with the vicious cycle.
Yeah. You've got a couple, you actually have so many different things that you teach. I've seen lots of your videos, and you've got a membership that's really amazing. The two things that I want you to kind of maybe talk about, not go in detail how to use them, but talk about how they impact memories, would be the healing codes, and then also Trilogy, which has the healing code embedded in it. But what are these mechanisms doing with the energy of a memory? How are they helping people to heal? And also, before you even talk about that, I want, you know, people now are probably thinking, oh my God, I've got millions of memories, I'm screwed. There's no hope. No, there is hope. That's why we've got Dr. Alex here. You don't have to negate, you know, the negative charge of every little memory in your life to live in love and health and happiness. You just have to get started. You have to get started on whatever's popping up. Like what popped up for Alex when Hope kicked him out of the house was what he needed to work on right then. But you've probably worked on many, many more things since then. I know I have. I'm going to work on something today, but tomorrow something new is going to pop up. So life brings you the things to work on. The challenge is most people just don't have the tools to work on them. And that's why I'm just so excited to let you know about what Alex is doing, because the Healing Code and then Trilogy, they do work on these memories. And I've used them. They work. They really do. They're very, very powerful. But what are they doing? What is the, when someone does the Healing Code or someone uses Trilogy, what's happening with them and their memories, Alex?
Yeah. It's really, it's really kind of fascinating. If you've ever taken like a glass of water, just tap mm-hmm. water, you know, maybe you did this when you were a kid and you got all the food coloring things over here that were your mom's that she used for cooking. And you put one drop of, you know, blue in it. And it's so beautiful, you know, as it spreads and everything. But then you put a drop of red in it, and now it's not blue anymore. It's purple. Well, that's energy, and that's energy changing energy. And eighth grade physics, and, you know, I can't really draw it here, but eighth grade physics is that everything that exists has a wavelength, a color, and a frequency. I mean, rocks, my shirt, yeah. the carpet, everything. A specific wavelength, color, and frequency. And that's represented as a wave.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I'm sure most of you've seen that in science class or physics class or whatever. Well, let's say you've got a wave that represents anger
mm-hmm.
inside you. And all of us do. And it's resonating from particular memories that yeah. that when we remember that memory, there was anger involved in that situation. All right. Well, how do you change a frequency that is a negative frequency that's causing a problem like anger? Well, back to seventh grade physics, you hit it with a different wave.
Mm.
Okay. And when those waves collide, it creates a new wave.
Right.
It's no longer negative. Well, what does that mean? It's no longer negative. It means now when you remember that memory, you don't feel the anger anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been neutralized.
What you said though, now when you remember it, and this is something that I learned from you. It doesn't mean like it's amnesia.
Oh, no.
You remember it, but it's a different wavelength, a different energy, which is so powerful.
Yeah, it is. And what you have to understand is the memories are made of energy. They've cut out every part of the brain trying to see, okay, exactly where are these memories? And even cutting out every part of the brain, the memories were still there. And yeah. that's when they started calling them cellular memories and realized that they're in cells all over the body. And one of the big areas that helped them figure that out was organ transplants. People would have a heart transplant and all of a sudden they've got a craving every day for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they were a vegan before, you know, and every day they want to sing and they've never sang. And I mean, there's hundreds of these documented cases, but what it led us to is that the memories aren't just in the brain. They didn't have a brain transplant. They had a heart transplant. And that's not just happened with heart transplants, but other organs as well. So the memories themselves are made of energy. And so the way you change energy is with other energy. And so the healing codes, which were kind of my first primary intervention in order to eliminate stress, negative emotions, negative thoughts, things like that. The healing codes was first, and it puts energy that's coming out of the body all the time back into the body in four very specific what I call healing centers. Yeah. And when the energy goes back into those centers, the mind and body use it for healing.
Yes.
And that's really it. It's that simple. It's just that as far as I can tell, no one had discovered those exact four centers before or how to get the energy back into them.
Yeah. It takes a few minutes to do this process. It's not
about
like
6 minutes.
30 minutes, yeah, or an hour and 6 minutes. You can take a memory that's been causing you stress and potentially even disease or could cause disease and really negate that energy. And it's amazing. I know you validated like the success rates. They're extremely high, right? What are they?
Yeah. You know, when we started, I was going to do double blind studies because that was my scientific background. So I inquired here in Nashville at Vanderbilt Hospital and a couple of others. And it was funny, Tom, because they said, oh, yeah, that sounds like something we'd be interested in. The cost will be about $1 to $3 million, and it'll take about 3 years.
Yeah.
And, okay. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. But fortunately, since then, there have been 5 independent university double-blind randomized controlled studies on the healing codes that were printed in peer-reviewed journals, which is another one of the things you want. And what they found is that the healing codes don't just work. They work dramatically for 11 different issues they've tested so far. Psychological stress, substance abuse, skin cancer, single parent stressors, anxiety, depression, pain, migraines, hypertension, body image, mother-daughter relationships, and lifestyle improvements. So that's
just what they've tested. I'm sure it works on so much more, but that's validated. That's amazing. That is so cool.
Yeah, and then the medical test indicated that about 87% of the time in 6 minutes, the stress, emotional, anxiety, all of that will come down at least 50%. In 6 minutes. And then Trilogy is my latest one. And the testing on Trilogy is 98% in 5 minutes. So some people like one better than the other. They both work. But I would try them both, see if one of them feels better to you.
And how do they find your work, Alex? Where can they go?
My main website is dralexanderlloyd.com. Lloyd is with one L though, not two. All the 2L Lloyds are crooks, so don't go there. Just kidding.
And unconditional love now.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but dr, and then alexanderlloyd with one L.com. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'll find all kinds of stuff there, freebies and videos, testimonials. The research studies are all there, everything you would ever want to know.
Yeah, I would highly recommend that everybody check this out, not just for you, but for all those people you love. And remember what we talked about, memories, what Alex is saying, memories are the source of so much discontent and unhappiness and stress and illness. And he's got a methodology where you can really negate the stress impact. You can change the energy of those memories, not just in you. That's obviously the first great benefit, but you show up differently. And even your lineage will now, as those memories are negated, feel differently, not have to deal with those in the same way. So I absolutely love what you've talked to us about. And I love the way you started out too. Talk to us about unconditional love for just a minute, because how can someone, I think I know what you're going to say, but I want you to say it.
So, unconditional love, okay. Yes.
Unconditionally loving like the rest of my life. And then most people remember that for like a minute and then they get hung up on something else. You've got a great little strategy about time increments. And I think you know what I'm saying, but how can we focus on being unconditionally loving? What's your strategy on that?
Yeah, first of all, and this is really important. You may not be in a place right now where you can do unconditional love.
Okay.
If you have too much negativity, too much anger, too much stress, too much, you got to dump some of that first. Okay.
Use the healing codes or
trilogy. Right. So. Typically, if someone comes to us that way, it may take them 2, 3, 4 weeks to bring their negativity down so that they can start to choose what I call real love, all right? But if you're too negative, it's almost like your unconscious mind won't let you go there. And so if you ever feel like, hey, I want to live that way, I want to treat other people that way, but I just can't seem to do it, it's because you got too much junk that needs to be taken out in the trash. All right. And we've figured out how to do that. But even then, even when you get to that point, I used to tell my clients, okay, yeah, so just live in unconditional love. And they would look at me sort of like, okay, you think I haven't tried that or something? I mean, you know, but then we changed it. And I think it's been much better. The next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Just focus on the next 30 minutes. Can I do it for 30 minutes? And I'll confess, everybody, sometimes I have to say 1 minute.
No joke.
But once you get a lot of the stuff cleaned out in your unconscious, subconscious, generationally, those popsicle memories, the memories that have errors in them saying, mm-hmm. because this happened, you're not a good person anymore, or you can't succeed anymore. Once that's taken care of, and you can do it probably in about 2, 3, 4 weeks, then you can choose to live there. And I'll just promise you this, if you've not ever lived there, you will absolutely be blown away beyond anything you can imagine. Yeah. And you will think, I am never going back. I mean, I would not give this up for anything, because the love that you're sharing, like the love I was sharing for Hope, is also love I felt inside me.
Right.
Okay. So it's not just that you'll automatically, without even trying, be treating people differently, be working differently, be thinking differently. It's that you're experiencing real love, joy, peace internally, by and large, irregardless of your circumstances. And let me tell you, very few people that I've ever seen ever get there. Yeah. They may say they're there, but typically behind the scenes, they're really not. But you can get there. And that's what we do.
And that in itself is so healing. When you feel that love, you're healing energy in so many of these memories inside of you. And I think the important thing is for people to understand, you're not talking about, like, you know, I love you, saying I love you. It's unconditional love. And it might not always be the fairy tale. Like yours was the fairy tale. You know, the story, it was like the Jerry Maguire, you know, he walks in and you complete me. And, you know, Alex knocked on the door and she's like, oh my God, it's different. That might not be everybody's experience.
Right,
so it's not
right.
About like, okay, I'm showing up with unconditional love. She better, or he better, or they better just respond to me. They may respond to you in a way that is helping you stay in unconditional love without you getting any external feedback.
Yeah, that's right. But also, Tom, if you show up that way,
yeah.
I mean, hey, I'm showing up with unconditional love, so everybody else better treat me accordingly. Yeah. You know what? You're not showing up with
unconditional love.
No, that's not it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great call out there too. Hey, final thought. What's the last thing you kind of want people thinking about? And actually, before you give the final thought, just repeat what you said you defined at the very beginning. And I thought it was so powerful, and I didn't get a chance to write it down. I'll rewatch this. But what is unconditional love? And you were talking about in your relationship with Hope, it started with, you know, all in, all the time. But just repeat that again. What is that?
Well, I came to the conclusion, and still believe today,
that
real love is all in, nothing held back. No plan B, no safety net, forever.
Yeah.
No matter what.
So almost totally being vulnerable to just, I'm all in. Whatever happens is going to happen, but I'm here.
It is, It is, but that doesn't always mean you're going to stay with that person, because that might not be what's best. Sure. All right.
But you're always going to love them.
Yeah. But you're always going to love them.
Yeah.
Now that didn't mean you're going to be intimate physically with them, especially if they're married to somebody else, like I thought Hope was going to be when I committed to do that.
Right.
No,
right.
But I would keep loving her.
Yes.
No matter what, no matter where she is. And you know, the real secret to that, Tom, is if I don't do that, it'll eat me up inside.
Yeah.
If I continue to love her, it will heal me inside and will have a positive effect on her too.
Yeah, because if you're not loving her, you've created a stressful memory that you're holding inside. Wow. So even people who have ended relationships and gone through divorces, if they adopt this philosophy now, they get to heal that wound inside. And that's such a beautiful thought. I love that.
You got to clean up the junk and start loving again. Even if you with your family, they're with theirs, but you're going to love them anyway.
I wish the whole world could see this. I know we're going to have lots of people see this interview, but I wish the whole world could see it. So just final thoughts. Give them one thing to think about, or one or two things to think about, just to take away from our conversation here.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I've gleaned from 35 years of doing this, as far as the average person that comes in to see me who's hurting and in pain. Number one, it is not your fault. Mm-hmm. And I don't care who you are, what you've done. I don't care if you're a serial killer. It's not your fault. And it would take us some time, but I could explain that. Yeah. Okay. It's not your fault. Number two, you can still get to where you want to get your best possible life from wherever you are now.
Wow.
And I've seen it thousands of times. People, no way I'll ever get. And 6 months later, they're thanking us. So that's number two. Number three, the solution is not trying harder. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not. It's fixing the problem. If you had water leaking all over the floor, do you grab towels and start cleaning up the water, or do you go fix the leak?
Yeah.
You go fix the leak.
Yeah.
This is fixing the leak.
Because you can't try harder than that memory. That memory is 24/7, right?
So, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
The memories that need to be healed. When the memories heal, you heal. Physical problems can even heal.
It's almost exactly like a computer virus on your computer.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, thank you so much. I love you. You are just so much a source of love for so many people, and we really appreciate you being part of our Global Energy Healing Summit. Alex, love to you and your family. Blessings. You are a gift to the world. So thank you so much for being here.
Well, Tom, you are such a huge guy and so successful. I was so honored to be asked. Thank you for having me. And I love you too, man. I can't wait till we can get together in person, hopefully before too long.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. Thanks so much, Alex. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Thanks, everyone.